You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Andra Watkins has been a guest before. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she also has an award-winning Substack. It started out as how Project 2025 will ruin your life. It has become, for such a time as this.
Yeah.
It's a great Substack. Andra grew up in a white Christian nationalist household.
Community, too.
In a community, yes, and school and the whole thing. So she has some very interesting perspectives when it comes to the Christian nationalists who are now part of the administration, essentially. Russ Votes, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
The author of Project 2025.
Our Speaker of the House is a Christian nationalist.
Yep, him too.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to Andra Watkins about... Because it's the left is the enemy.
Absolutely.
Satan.
Yeah.
They're the party of Satan and demonic and all those things. But Andra has some interesting perspectives on who is considered left.
Ooh.
And you might be surprised that as much as you might align with the...
Wait, am I conservative, actually?
As much as you might align with the current administration, you might actually be a lefty. According to Christian nationalists.
And that's going to go, you know, and I feel like I'm going to say this with her as well, and I've said it before. It goes back to the idea of you think you're enough, and someday you won't be. And
exactly.
You'll get a knock on the door, and you will be surprised.
Yep. And we're also going to talk about Mr. Morris, the former Trump spiritual advisor.
Oh, yes.
Who pled guilty to sexually assaulting a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to serve 6 whole months.
Stick around for that conversation.
Got a 10-year sentence.
Yeah.
He's going to serve 6 whole months because they're very serious about protecting children.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll talk about that with Andra Watkins coming up after the 9:30 news. Next hour, Darren Von Rudin will be here, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Yes, we're going to keep talking tariffs and what this means for Wisconsin farmers and subsequently what this means for Wisconsin consumers.
Yes.
Because this is showing up now. I'm sure you've seen it if you've been at the grocery store. Prices are up. No matter what the leader of the free world might say, prices are down everywhere, Greg, according to Donald Trump.
Gas is free.
And he's going to lower prices by 1,300%. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. That's in hour number two. Brewers in action. Later on today.
This afternoon.
Are you going to listen?
No.
He's so anxiety ridden.
No, I have to watch on my phone. It's the only control I have in my life. I watch on my phone, sort of. I can't listen. I can't watch.
You just kind of dip in and out.
But you should listen on Civic Media because we are a Brewers network and you can listen on traditional terrestrial radio. You can listen to the game all over Wisconsin. Jane, where are some of the stations people can hear us?
Our broadcast will start at 3:30 this afternoon. I think the first pitch goes out a little after 4.
4:08.
4:08. Again, as Greg said, you can listen to the game on terrestrial radio. So WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH in beautiful Hayward, and right here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN 99.9 FM 1400 AM. Brewers could wrap. They could sweep it.
Could sweep it.
Could
but
sweep it this afternoon. They're at Wrigley.
They're at Wrigley. We keep our expectations very realistic.
Temper them. Yes.
Cannot wait. Honestly, if they win, That will be wonderful. I'll be very happy. And I actually felt my whole body relax right there at the thought of a Brewers victory in game three. But I have now just become a really big fan of the Chicago sports writing intelligentsia and how they're all seven-year-old boys who didn't make it past T-ball because they're so mad.
And they're being really petty.
Oh, they're the pettiest. They are. You think the Kardashians are petty? These guys take the cake. They are the pettiest of petty. They're so mean and so snarky and so bitter. I just, as I once heard Patton Oswalt say, he said, you could just drizzle it on pancakes. It's amazing.
Chicago sports writers, bad case of mean girls.
Yeah.
Bad case of mean girls these days. What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame. Anyway, if you're going, and the special train, I believe, has already left.
Yes, it did.
A special train to Chicago that Amtrak was running. So if you got pictures or you're going to the game, please share them with us.
Yeah.
You can send them in to our text line at 855-752-4842 and go crew. That would be a great and wonderful thing.
Yes.
Wanted to start off with things a little bit closer to home. Josh Call, Wisconsin Attorney General, says he will not seek re-election, or he will seek re-election as Attorney General, is not going to run for governor.
Good. I think that's a good plan.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I will say this. I you know, this is no, actually, I'm not even going to say it. I don't care if people take offense to this. He wouldn't have been the right choice, in my opinion. I fully feel, and I believe other people do. I'm not going to say people are saying, I just feel that people do agree with me on the matter that his lack of speed with moving to prosecute those who had their hands in the 2020 election.
You mean the fake electors?
The fake electors. The fact that he moved so slowly on that was very noticeable by individuals. We heard it from people here on the text line, the calling. And his recent activity since the election of last year has shown an enthusiasm for the job. But I feel like that everything before that would have hindered a run for the governorship. And so I think it's a good idea for him to run re-election.
For AG.
It will not be easy. I still think there will be questions, especially if someone wants to primary him. I think more so if someone wants to primary him. But, yeah, I think this is a good move for Attorney General Call.
Call said in an interview with WPR his decision, partly based, it's personal in nature, also reflective of the work his office has taken on in challenging the Trump administration. Quote, this is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat. He's not wrong.
Nope, he's not wrong at all.
He's not wrong. And it is more important than ever that we have attorneys general who actually follow the law.
For as long as they're allowed to.
That's true.
Until it becomes illegal by way of the Supreme Court to challenge the president on anything, which you think it's funny, but it can be true.
And then there's a new poll out. This seems way premature. New governor's race poll from WISN gives Tom Tiffany and Mandela Barnes an early lead.
Okay, let's be...
This poll was by Platform Communications.
Yes, and it was done by a Republican and a Democrat. Full disclosure, I worked with the Democratic pollster many years ago in an election. And what's interesting about this, I wanted to find it again, is that while Tom Tiffany does have a lead on the Republican side and Mandela Barnes, for some reason, has a lead.
Because he hasn't even announced.
He's not announced, and he absolutely has not made any sort of claim. I'm trying to find the numbers are very interesting to me because on both sides, undecided is winning. That has more percentage points than anything
any of the
else.
Candidates.
And there is actually a section for it is none. Yeah, none slash someone else. So on the Republican side, 34% are undecided. 30% are for Tom Tiffany. 14 for Eric Hovde, not in the race. 9, Tim Michaels, not in the race. 4% for Josh Schumann. As we all remember, Bill Berrien dropped out about a week and a half ago. And then 9% for none slash someone else. On the Democratic side, it is a little more, it's a little bigger because there's more people, but undecided has 38%.
Lots of support.
Mandela Barnes. And I think this is telling for someone who's A, not in the race, and B, in, quote, first place for humans, 16%.
Oh, boy.
So you look at Tom Tiffany, who's 30, Mandela Barnes, not in the race, 16%. And then it goes all the way down. Rodriguez after that with 8, Crawley with 7, Call, not in the race, 7, Hong, 4, Kelderoys and Missy Hughes weren't even registered, and none, someone else is on there as well. So I feel like, yeah, of course there's going to be a poll, but this is a very weak poll. I mean, two of the people on the Democratic side are not in the race. I think 3 in the Republican are not in the race. It's just, I feel like this mucks up the conversation, especially since Mandela Barnes has not been part of it yet.
Right.
In the serious tone, like Dan Schaefer has mentioned Mandela Barnes. We've talked about Mandela. I don't think he should run.
I don't think so either.
Period. I don't think he should run. But that doesn't stop people from saying, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that guy. Well, I remember that guy.
Name recognition is a very important thing.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think this seems just a little premature. And we're going to see a billion more polls before we actually go to the polls.
Oh, yeah. We're probably going to see at least, it's October the 8th right now. My guess is by mid-month, we'll see at least 2 more polls.
Yeah, they're going to be, it's going to become a regular thing. Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting that Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels are both mentioned in here. Mm-hmm. But again, that just speaks to the power of name recognition.
And Eric Hovde, I mean, granted, Eric Hovde is the closest one to Tom Tiffany, but Eric Hovde has 14%, and he's not in the race. Did he? Yes, he did do the thing. He did a Tommy Thompson. I haven't ruled it out. I'm thinking about it. Blah, blah, blah. I need a headline again. I need to be relevant. Even though I'm rich, who cares?
Well, it really depends upon, and I would think with both Hovde and Michaels, the biggest issue is, do they feel like shelling out a couple more million dollars of their own money?
Yeah.
In order to throw their hat in the ring.
I mean, if they really wanted to, they would have stayed in the state and kept working and meeting with people and being politicians, essentially. But when both of them lost, they hightailed it out. They're gone. They're not of this state. They're not us. Sorry, you guys have companies here. Great. But, and Tom Tiffany, sorry, just because you put a hat on that says home with the Wisconsin where the O is, doesn't make, I'm sorry, just.
It's interesting, though, to see the reaction from some on the right who think Tom Tiffany is the, I mean, they're very excited about this because he apparently ran a campground at one point.
I thought he surveyed land or something.
Maybe it was that.
Well,
And so I've seen comments saying he is right out of Central Casting, which is something that Donald Trump has always said, because, of course, to him, everything is a reality show.
Yeah. And also, this must be interesting for Tom Tiffany, because this is the first time I think anyone's been excited about him running ever. So really, when it comes down to it, I think he should just swim in the moment. But
enjoy.
He's doing the same thing that Hovde did, is he's trying to be down home Wisconsin.
I'm just like you.
I'm shoveling the poo in the barn because I know what it's like to live on the farm. And I know he comes from farming background.
He does.
And that's fine.
That's great.
Then what have you done for him?
He also knows how to hold a fish.
He does know how to fish.
Very important.
Standing on a frozen lake. Once again, lake sitting, lake standing.
It's all good.
That's what makes a real governor.
Apparently, it's all good. Coming up, Mike Johnson, run away, baby.
Oh my God.
Epstein, he's still dead and he's still not going away. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to congratulate our grand prize winner from the multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, Dennis from Minocqua, listening to WCQM, was the grand prize winner, picked up that pair of indoor club-level tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota November 23rd at noon. with a gas card to get him there and back. Congratulations, Dennis. Have a wonderful time. Take lots of pictures. We want to see him. And thanks to everybody who entered.
Yeah.
It was really a lot of fun to see where everyone is listening around the state. And just a reminder, we will have another one of these Text to Win contests coming up soon.
And Dennis, if you're listening right now, when you do go to the game and you're snapping all the pictures, you can send those pictures via the same app that you use to enter, which is the Civic Media app, because you can call, you can text, you can leave a voice note. You don't even have to like us to do that.
And you can leave your name.
You can so exactly. And your location, your social security number, yeah, and your favorite pets.
If you're inclined.
And this goes for anybody. If you're ever going to an event, if you're ever doing something that you want us to see, you can send those pictures through the Civic Media app by simply texting us, and we'll see them, and we'll talk about them, and it'll be great.
And the whole point is the Civic Media app is...
absolutely free.
So make sure you download it, go to your app store, and look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Before we go to the bottom of the hour news, I think it's important that we keep reminding folks that... we could have the Epstein files. They could be released.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is now another Democrat who would bring the vote to 218, which is what we need in order for them to release the Epstein files. She won a special election 2 weeks ago, and Mike Johnson is refusing to swear her in. But it's not to delay the release of the Epstein files, Greg, in case that's what you were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be that. We have a couple clips of the Speaker of the House. Calvin, it's producer choice. Play any of those clips that you like, please.
There was a moment earlier this year, you swore in two Republican members during a pro forma session. So why not swear in Adelita Grijalva, who was elected 2 weeks ago during a pro forma session?
Why not?
It have to do with her 218 signature on the discharge petition, the Epstein discharge petition.
No, it has nothing to do with that at all. We will swear her in when everybody gets back. It's a ceremonial duty. We'll schedule it, as soon as she wants. It has nothing to do with it.
As soon as she...
You heard that.
She's been there for 2 weeks.
Adelita Grijalva has been waiting to be sworn in. She would have been sworn in on the plane if she was a Republican.
Oh, yeah. They've done this for Republicans.
Yeah, their whole pro forma argument falls completely apart. And we know that because they're asked every time, well, if it's pro forma, you did it before. You've done it before. Why not do it now? And I love Mike Johnson's answer.
No.
We have another clip with
We do have another clip.
Yeah.
From Speaker of the House Mike Johnson talking about the special circumstances for when they swore in those Republicans.
This one's
great. Calvin, let's play that clip, please, from the Speaker of the House.
On the Epstein files. There she is there speaking. Why won't you swear her in?
Yeah. I mean, again, they're becoming experts at distraction and red herrings. This has absolutely nothing to do about Epstein. This is a scheduling matter. As soon as the Democrats open a vote to reopen the government, we will get back to the regular order and session of Congress. And that'll be, I'm sure, among our first orders of business is to administer the oath to the newly elected representative. This is just a matter of the schedule. In a pro forma session, no one's there in the chamber. It's literally sometimes three, four people. You have a clerk and whomever is serving as the interim speaker. They bang the gavel in, they say the pledge, and they bang the gavel out. That's it. It's just to keep Congress functioning. It's a tradition of the institution. But we'll do it right and do it in the right way as soon as everybody gets back here.
I understand, and that makes perfect sense until we look back and see that there have been Republicans sworn in during pro forma sessions. So why should it be different for a Democrat?
The great question. There was a unique exception made when the two Florida representatives were sworn in earlier this year after winning a special election. And the only reason we did that is because it was previously noticed for that date and they flew all their families and friends in for the ceremony. So because they were here and the session got canceled, we just went ahead and did it because their families were here. That's the main purpose of it.
But so if she flies in her family, would you guys do it?
All of us, she'll get the full bells and whistles. It hasn't been scheduled because we don't schedule things for pro forma.
Lie.
No, but they're trying to make an issue out of nothing.
It's not nothing.
He's lying through his perfect central casting teeth.
It's not nothing.
No.
It's really not.
You just said that you don't do it. Then when someone said you've done it, you said why you did it, and then you say,
Well, but no, maybe, we wouldn't. Yeah. But those same circumstances don't apply to this Democrat.
No. By the way, by the way, by the way. I mean, it is just, God, like, it must be, Jane, tiresome to lie this much. I'm wondering if not only when you get elected to Congress or the Senate, when you have to be really good at your job at a certain point, and one of that part of that job is just lying on command.
Well, and what stuff is keeping all the lies straight?
Oh, they don't even have to do that. Like,
well, that's why Pam Bondi brought notes yesterday.
She brought notes with her comebacks.
She had, yes. Oh. It's like being a bad comic.
Oh,
and writing down her comebacks in case she gets heckled by the audience. We'll talk more about that with Jim Santel tomorrow.
So pathetic.
Right now, we have news on the way. And then when we return, Andra Watkins will be here, New York Times best-selling author and author of the award-winning Substack called For Such a Time as This. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by New York Times bestselling author and the author of the award-winning Substack called For Such a Time as This. Andra Watkins joins us. Good morning, Andra. Thanks for being here. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We are good. We are surviving. We are plugging along, as it were. We have a lot to cover this morning. Before we jump into Christian nationalism and who falls under the definition of left, because I think that's going to surprise many, many, many people, let's talk about Robert Morris just for a little bit. Robert Morris, for people who don't know, is the founder of a megachurch. Pastor of one of the largest megachurches in the country, he pled guilty to sexually abusing a 12-year-old girl. The 64-year-old Morris, of course, was one of Donald Trump's spiritual advisors. He began abusing this woman when she was 12. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison. He's going to get 6 months. There seems
and she's Warland. Go ahead.
There seems to be a lot of this within the clergy and within megachurches.
She's going to carry that for the rest of her life, and he gets 6 months. It's just abominable
and
for people to let them get away with this.
Absolutely.
And it is a very common thing.
At one point, his lawyer wrote a letter saying that she had to accept some culpability for this. She was 12.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this before, but there are hopefully lots of new people here who haven't met me. So the reason that they would say something like that is because they adhere strictly to the doctrine of original sin, which is the interpretation of the Bible that St. Augustine invented 2,000 years ago because he was a sex addict and went into the church to stop being a sex addict. So these men never change and came up with the fact that because Eve sinned first and tempted Adam to fall with her, the woman is originally responsible for sin and has to be subject to the man and has to submit to him and has to be blamed all the time for tempting him. And men really can't help it when they do bad things. You know, it's the woman's fault that she tempted him. So that lawyer statement is a reflection of this doctrine of original sin that these Christian nationalists adhere to keep from blaming the man because he can't control himself.
I have no culpability. I'll see you guys. I'm out of here.
Sit down.
All right.
Sit down. You're not going anywhere. I just want to make sure I understand this. Men are so strong,
mm-hmm.
and the head of the household.
Absolutely.
And the enforcer of, you know, he's following God's law in being the head of the household, but he is so weak and so fragile that we have to protect men from scary women, from scary ladies.
Yes, and women, that was what I was taught as a child in Christian nationalism. Women have to control themselves all the time because men can never control themselves. It's never a man's fault when he does something like that. It's always the woman's fault because she wore the wrong thing, or she looked at him the wrong way, or she giggled at him coyly, or, you know, she walked a certain way, or she sat a certain way, or she got up from a chair a certain way, or she just generally existed.
Yeah, she is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, she existed.
She is.
And for me, you know, as a man, yeah, it's not just that. It's also the fact, it's not even the trying to strip any sort of accountability from the man, but it's also that of, you know, it's tough. It's just so, guys, it's tough, man. He was just trying to live his life, and he saw a 12-year-old over there, and he's like, oh, my base instinct is to do something horrible. And what was he, let's just have a moment to feel sympathy for this guy. And I'm thinking about this, and I wish I would have gotten the name of this gentleman, but he got up in front of his megachurch, and he admitted to wrongdoing on this level of being in inappropriate relationships. And he did it with self-reflection in his tone, and his head was hung low, and I'm sure there was a crocodile tear there. The entire church got up and clapped for him.
Yeah.
And he was off the hook.
They are conditioned to forgive the man for anything. He said he was sorry. He's repented. We saw this with Pete Hegseth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he assaulted multiple women, allegedly. But, you know, he asked for forgiveness. He repented publicly. Then he turned around and did it again. Well, but he asked for forgiveness, and he repented publicly. So we don't need to punish him anymore. He's paid his price. He's sorry. Let's move on. That's how they operate. And these girls and young women are scarred for life and have to carry that with them for life.
And these girls and young women are groomed for this, right? Because
you yes.
do not question authority. You never question your spiritual leader, ever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so when your spiritual leader of a megachurch of 10,000 people is telling you, it's God's will that I touch you here, and we just don't need to tell anybody, you know, this is a super special spiritual thing between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a child.
Yeah.
You're 12. You know, you don't know that that's inappropriate. Many of the people in these communities, especially, I mean, you don't know how sex works. You're not taught about your body.
Yeah, you're not,
you don't know any of that. So this kind of inappropriate touching and interaction, you may think, well, this is weird, this is embarrassing, but you don't really understand that it's sexual assault.
If you're just joining us right now on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking to Andrew Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author. I told her this last time. I love saying that. New York Times bestselling author. Also the author of the award-winning Substack For Such a Time as This. She is a survivor of the white Christian nationalist community, which, as you put it many months ago, and I always want to, I put this in the notes, and I always say it out loud when people can hear me, that these are people not on the fringes. They are in the halls of power. And I think that attitude, Andrew, that you are speaking of, where we just submit our personal morals because God has got a plan, and that means that so-and-so must have done this to this young child. So therefore, it's not for me to understand. I feel like that attitude has been mainstreamed and almost secularized because we see this type of action being busted all the time. Cops, clergy members, teachers being arrested for assault, if not absolutely worse, of children. And what we do is we say, well, the job is a lot of pressure, or they got a lot going on, and we don't know the situation. And I think in a certain sense, and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like we as a community, as a society, do that for our own comfort. Because to go deeper into it and hold accountability to these individuals, we then have to look into the nuanced topics of their professions, which usually grant them power. And these are usually men, not always, but usually men. But it's a lot easier to say, well, we just don't know, and walk away with our lives, which are busy, instead of saying we need to do something about it. Because frankly, if we were to do something about this, it would take forever because it's always happening.
Yes, and a lot, I mean, our government is shut down right now to avoid looking at this with the Epstein.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I'm convinced that's why the government shut
Absolutely.
Down, because they don't want that to come out. So, and that's a whole nother set, like you said, Greg, of secularizing, you know, many wealthy, powerful, mostly men, abusing young girls, little girls, mm-hmm. and young women for decades and getting away with it. So, you know, this is something about our society that we're perpetuating, and this idea that is baked into all of these religions, from Judaism to Islam to Christianity, of this story of the woman being at fault and the woman being a temptress, is where they are able to encode that degree of patriarchy and female control into all of society. So even people who haven't grown up in this or been exposed to it still have that view, because it is so pervasive.
Here is my question to you. If I am in one of these churches, a Christian nationalist church, and the man is the head of the household, and my husband decides to do something completely moronic. He's going to jump off the roof into a vat of Jell-O, whatever. And I go to my faith leader and I say, my husband wants to do this thing that's really dangerous and stupid. Should I do this with him? Should I also jump off the roof into a vat of Jell-O? What is their explanation then, that you still submit to the moron?
You know, in general, in a lot of these churches now, you have to sign some kind of contract of conduct. I had to sign a standard of conduct to be in the school when I was in junior high and high school. We had to sign one of these things, and a lot of these churches have them. So one of the things that happens with that is the church has the right to discipline you for going against the standard of contract. So, and the church leaders decide when that applies. So if the church leadership decided that not jumping off a roof into a vat of Jell-O with your husband was not properly submitting to him, then you could be punished publicly in the church for not submitting to your husband. So, you know, it really is interpreted in these churches on a church by church basis.
And a case by case basis, I would imagine.
And a case by case basis, because there are people, you know, if you're a really good tither mm-hmm. and you give a lot of money, you know, then probably they're going to go easier on you than if you're just to show up sometimes and do the bare minimum kind of person.
Andrew, I want really quick, I'm going to make this question very quick, because we have to go to grab some snacks and some water. But of these individuals, because you saw this firsthand in your experience, with no support from the church, no support from parents, no support from their community, these young people, young women and girls have to just stay in the church. They don't probably leave because they don't have the power or the authority within them to do that. What is the percentage you see now, like then or now, of young people who are just like, I got to get out of here? Or they're just like, there's nothing I can do because it's God's will and I have to stay and endure.
If that had happened to me, I would have been in the it's God's will and I have to stay and endure.
Okay. You would have.
And a lot of people would have been, because they don't, I didn't have a choice about where I went to school or went to church. That was my parents' decision. I did not have any say in that. You know, and I wasn't particularly rebellious. So a lot of people will stay.
Gotcha.
Because they don't feel like they have another choice.
Well, and again, if your education is so intentionally limited, that makes it mm-hmm. even more difficult for you to get out into the regular world and function. We're going to continue our conversation with Andra Watkins, New York Times bestselling author and author of the award-winning Substack For Such a Time as This. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bacher, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball later on this afternoon. Brewers at Wrigley against the Cubs. Our broadcast starts at 3:30. You can listen on terrestrial radio. Listen to the crew on WRCE in Richland Center. Here in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN. Park Falls, WCQM. And in beautiful Hayward, WBZH. Cubs host and crew, 3:30. Our broadcast starts this afternoon. First pitch goes out at 4:08. You got a compliment on your jersey there, Greg Bach.
What's up, everybody?
Andrew, your husband's a Brewers fan.
Yes, lifelong. He used to go sit and watch them on the grass when they were in the old stadium. Mm. He would sit in the back on the free seats in the grass when he was a kid. So
nice.
He's been watching them his whole life.
Nice. Andrea Watkins is our guest. She's a New York Times bestselling author and also author of the award-winning Substack called For Such a Time as This. I highly encourage you to subscribe. We will include the link in our show notes. One of your latest columns, Andrea, are you talking about when Christian nationalists say the left, who are they talking about?
And it's such a good point to make, and I'm so glad you asked me to do this. And for people who are visual people, I made a video of this on my Substack that you can go find so you can see it, because we're on the radio. You can't see it here. But I'll do my best.
All right.
So, you know, most people think, sane people think that, you know, ideologies exist on a spectrum. So we have people who are on the far left. We have people who are on the far right. We have a lot of people who are in between. We have people who are in the middle. We have center right. We have center left. And people hit multiple points in that spectrum. And that means a certain thing, you know, in terms of what they believe. But when somebody like Kevin Roberts, who's president of the Heritage Foundation, which authored Project 2025 that I wrote about last year and warned people not to vote for,
yep.
When somebody like him says we're in the midst of the second American Revolution and it will be bloodless if the left allows it to be, I want, which I interpreted it as, is if you resist, we will kill you, and how I interpret that statement. But, you know, when he says the left in that context, you have to understand that somebody like him, a diehard Christian nationalist, an Opus Dei Catholic, allegedly, who's in that cult of Christian nationalism, who's very, very far right, but rigid. We can't compromise with anybody. Our interpretation of God's law should be the Bible. And we are right. And anybody who disagrees with us is wrong. And we will not compromise an inch. We caught Sam Alito saying that on the hot mic last summer. So we can't compromise. So they very much believe that. So say you voted for this three times, which would make you think that you're probably over there with Kevin Roberts. You're on his team fully, but you're okay with same-sex marriage because your cousin is gay and married to a man married to a man. So you're okay with that. You carve out. It's okay. You're the left to somebody like Kevin Roberts, because anyone who does not agree with him 100% about everything is the left, because he cannot compromise. So millions and millions and millions of Americans think they're not in the crosshairs of this regime because, you know, they're not left-wing radicals. But anybody who doesn't agree with them is a left-wing radical. The Pope now is a left-wing radical because he said being pro-life means that you need to be against the death penalty. And being pro-life means you need to take care of immigrants and treat them like human beings. And there was all this outrage within MAGA because that's radical left. You know, disagreeing with them at all means you are a radical left liberal.
And need to be destroyed.
And need to be destroyed.
Or saved. Yes. Or saved.
Do they even think we're worth saving?
I don't think they care so much about the save part anymore.
So the question I have then, and you've spoken on this before. In fact, you spoke on this when the first time you were ever here then, is you have someone like that gentleman, Opus Dei Catholic. Then does he see Mike Johnson as the left because he's not the same Christian nationalist as he is? They're different. They're different sides
they're different
of the coin.
Flavors.
They're different flavors of Christian nationalism. So is it a matter of whomever is on the top of the mountain wins and everyone below them, even if they are just as devout in their Christian nationalism, but you're not a Catholic. Sorry, back of the line, or it's no longer a bloodless revolution.
Eventually, we will get to that if they consolidate enough power, where an Opus Dei Catholic has been schooled to say all people have to be Catholic. And so someone like Mike Johnson is Baptist, therefore he's not a real Christian to someone like Kevin Roberts or Sam Alito. So they will have to have a war about whose version of faith they're going to have to force on everyone because they don't agree about who's going to heaven.
And I want to repeat something, too, you've been saying more and more, too. This is white Christian nationalism. This isn't Christian nationalism. This isn't an all-encompassing, super-inclusive Christian nationalism. This is white Christian nationalism.
Yes. And it's just, I mean, there are three sectors of it, the Catholic sector, the Baptist, Protestant, Presbyterian sector, and the Dominionist, New Apostolic Reformation sector that have distinct views about who's going to heaven.
You started writing about Project 2025 long before anybody else did. We talked about it. That's why we started having you on in the first place. They've gotten pretty far already with implementing parts of Project 2025, which we'll talk about more the next time you join us. Andra Watkins, New York Times bestselling author, subscribe to her Substack for such a time as this. Always appreciate your time, Andra. It's so enlightening. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. News coming up next, and then we're going to talk to Darren Von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.